Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Thursday, January 11th, 2018. It's so crazy how these days are just flying by, but it's also the 11th, which is kind of cool. I always feel, you know, how Christ said every 11th millisecond, second, minute, hour, you know, all of that, there's heightened moments where we touch base with home. So I always feel like so spaceshipy when I say that, like, oh, we touch base with home, but it keeps us connected. And the funnier part was I never knew anything about numbers or the significance of numbers, speaking about dreams, but even significance of numbers that, you know, we talk about, that we say, oh, this number is a special number. And after I wrote that, I started noticing that a lot of people attach to the number 11. And you know, like Christ said, 11 is one and one, meaning we are in pairs as well, but we're separated pairs. And we never melt into one person. We're always one and one. That's a pair. We're never like one together because we're different people. And when we try to do that, we end up getting ourselves in trouble. So it's so interesting how just even in a number, and every time it's the 11th of the month, I remember that. It's so cool. So, and also like I look at 2018, that's 11 if you add up those numbers. And that number just keeps reoccurring in my mind. And sometimes I just totally forget about it for a long time. And other times it just keeps coming up over and over and over again. So anyway, that's a side note because we have a ton of dreams today. I hope I get to them all. If I don't, I save them till the next week. So it won't be forever, but oh my gosh. So I'm going to start real quick with this first dream is anonymous, and they have two. So we're going to go through them, and then we're going to hit the next and the next and the next will be over, but they're cool. So here's the first one. Dream one. Dreamt for the first time in ages about someone close to me that other energies and ourselves perhaps allowed to separate our friendship. We had a high profile in ministry, but also sports. In the dream, we were finally together, but in a real relationship, starting to heal and clear space. He was setting order and getting those around him who don't like me in order and preparing them. He did not tell anyone. The room we were in was large and expansive with tons of empty space in front of us like a new room. Nothing fancy, concrete floor with white painting on the floor. My mom was in there too. We were seated on a sofa with his arm around me. Only two people from our past in doing ministry together were in there and they were happy. It didn't feel like it was a place. It was the place he's in now. I felt like a new building, new home, new start. In the dream, I was at total peace and deep joy, and I woke up smiling and said, oh, that was a dream. It felt so real. It was real in the sense that you did heal. These dreams, they're the healing dreams. And when, think about this, you had a white floor, which is clear and clean. You can see everything on it. It was like everything came out. The fact that you were on a white floor. But the other big deal in there is that your mom was there because moms, you know, they know us best. So to be comfortable with your mom and the person that you were in ministry with, to have the two together in your dream is telling you that you equate him with family and that your mom can see him. You felt confident enough about that relationship or partnership or friendship or whatever it was to have him be included in family on a white floor. The other thing is the people were happy that saw you. So that kind of validated that your existence together was no longer an issue, not only for you, but for other people who tried to get between you. Because stuff like that happens all the time. I mean, come on, you know, people when there's two people and one person wants to be in the friendship, or someone's jealous of the other person, or maybe one person's in a relationship and you're, you know, working with this person, or whatever it is, whatever kind of triangle ends up transpiring, somebody's going to try to break it because somebody's hurt or somebody's insecure or somebody feels bad. It may even be you. It may even be the other person, you know, not comfortable there. But this dream is letting you know that, all right, everything's said and done. And looking back at it, it feels better than when it was happening. So you get to see how you heal. But the fact that your mom was there, others were there, his arm was around you, that's all encompassing. It's just, and you woke up happy. It was a real dream because whatever it is you felt, the other person is at peace too. There isn't like weird energy between you and the other person. Everything just kind of filtered until it came out to where you guys, you know, survived it. And it happens sometimes when you meet people and you get too close too fast and you don't really know each other, but then over time you start to see what the motives of the other person were, whatever they were, good, bad, or indifferent, but you get to see it. And it's really good that, you know, you felt trust in him, the fact that he didn't tell anyone, but you trusted him. There was empty space, which meant there's room for you to grow in your life, not necessarily with him, but room to grow in your life, and that's behind you and solved now. So that's a great dream to have. The second dream, last night I saw a baseball player in a room, and I said you should probably be careful who you give your credit cards to and who you trust, because I just saw one of your foundation workers duplicating one and stealing from you. His response was trite. So what do you want me to do? I said, protect yourself, but not have an attitude towards me. Anonymous. Okay, so this one, saying that you don't feel like people respect you. You feel good about yourself, but you don't feel respect. Like even when you're telling somebody so prevalent to their welfare that somebody's duplicating their credit card, and you and the person is just very like, well, what do you want me to do about it? Like, okay, all right, no big deal. Well, the fact that they thought it was no big deal makes it says that you're saying to yourself that no matter what you tell somebody, no matter how big it is, they don't believe you, or they don't respect you, or they don't take your information seriously. So in this thought process where you have a thought like that and it comes through, the bigger question is how you respect yourself. Because a lot of times, you know, people who work hard or do a lot of work, they feel like nobody sees them. Where in real life, most of the time, people do respect you when you're respecting yourself. But what happens when you're not feeling so great? Then that might carry over. Because this isn't about the baseball player and them having attitude towards you. This is more about you at times maybe having attitude towards yourself. It's very interesting because a lot of times when we don't feel respected from the outside in, and we were to really give it some thought and throw some thinking at it, we start to say, hey, you know what? I didn't feel great. I didn't feel like one of everybody else. I felt like I'm always working for everybody. But I have all these great things going on. I have all these great things I want to do. But yet, when you work for others, you work better than you work for yourself. And this is telling you, stop wasting your time in doing that and start working for yourself. Because the respect that you get is what you give you, not what you give other people. Trying to help everybody and then walking around empty-handed doesn't make you feel good. And that made you feel empty-handed. His response being trite is your own response to how you feel about what you can do alone. And then you hook on and work with somebody else and you feel like, wow, look at what I've done for these people, because you're so smart, you can put it together, you can do it. That dream is telling you to do this for yourself. Because no matter how big the information is, no matter how much work you do for someone else, you haven't done anything for you. So pay attention to that one. Pay a lot of attention to that one. That one is more of a self-empowerment and a self-realization of paying attention to how you treat you. That's the big one there. Huge. Okay, I have another dream. This one is, let me see. I just got to make sure it's not anonymous. Nope. Okay, so this one is Paul's dream, Paul Clark. And it says, good morning. I'm sending you a dream for Thursday's show. A shop, one facility, two buildings, three commercial services, all building and mechanically related. In the main building, in the shop area, had a circular front station with a candy stand on one arc of the counter, completely out of place to the purpose of the shop. The dream started here, but it turned adventuresome. Next, I found myself with a really close friend, only in the dream. This guy has no grounding in real life. We were outstanding bikers like the ones you see running low-speed passes over impossible obstacles with pedal bikes. We decided to go on an adventure that had a fugitive-on-the-run component to it. I'm not sure why. We weren't stealing things, hurting people, or vandalizing property, but our renegade mission took us to and through places where people and authorities don't want us to go. We had a string of runs into uninvited territory, and because of this, we were under hot pursuit. At one point, it got so sticky, we had to split up. Upon rejoining, we had to pick a new direction and chart a course through it. Now we were major targets. I told the friend, which way should we go? He pushed back for fear it would be an impossible pass, which was worse pause because he was a superior biker of the two of us. I didn't give him time to sell me on the point of view. I took charge and repeated that this was the way we were going. I made the attempt to convey to him that the sum total of our experience was this point, didn't hold the answers we would need to tackle this challenge, but reminded him that we were dynamic and resourceful, and when the time comes that we got into an unfamiliar jam, the puzzle will at the same time provide the seeds of its own solution. We will, at the right time, see a new way, and we will make the right moves for the win. Though more skilled than me, he was scared, frozen, and forfeiting his power. I stepped into the vacuum fully ready to advance, not based on having the answers, but living in the certainty of finding a way. Dream ends. All right, Paul, I have to tell you, this dream, it totally sums you up. You have information. You know what to do. And a lot of times, instead of taking charge, you let other people run the show for you. Yet you have the capability, and when the rubber meets the road or push comes to shove, you do take charge and you do know what to do. But for the most part, you don't like doing that. You have a very whimsical, big, huge child in you that likes to just kind of woo people, let them be happy with you, and that's all you need to feel good in life. It like literally drives you. So you stop right there. That's where you stop. You've stopped there your entire life. You were going on an adventure as an adult with a man and allowing that person because you gave him the fact that he was superior to you. But it turned out that you had great direction, and you have that direction. And when you go out on an adventure and you don't know where you're going and you found out you knew what to do over and above the person you put in charge of you, it's telling you that you, your power all along, not just now, not just today, not just what you grew into, has been a dominating power, but it's been on the down low. And you enjoy it there because that keeps you in that childlike phase, because what this dream is telling you is you don't like being an adult. You will be an adult when you have to. You will come out when you have to. You will pull rank when you have to. You know all the details already. But you don't enjoy life being in charge or having pressure on you to be the person who runs the show. You'd rather someone else ran it. Do your part so that you're kind of like left alone and nobody will bother you. But if it comes to saving your life, you're going to save your life and the other person's and whoever else is with you, because you have the capability. But the hanging on to the innocence, to the purity, to the youngness, to the freshness, because when you have demands on you, you don't function as happily. And you figured that out a long time ago. It's like somebody who loves to date, but if they get married, it ruins it for them, because then they're going to have like responsibility, like, oh my God, I'm going to have to, oh my God, what if I have a kid and I'm going to have to be a dad and then I'm going to have to get a job that, you know, forces me into a certain lifestyle. That forcing part has been the most unattractive part of life for you throughout life. So to go on an adventure, one that involves potential risk, and you know it, and give that power to somebody else is a very trusting thought, the way a kid would trust. But then that kid may come out on top when there's trouble and the other person starts to shake a little bit in their boots. You know you can take over, but it's really something deep inside of you that tells you you don't want to do that. You are happy as you are. Dream by telling you at the end that, hey, you know what? You're the one that came up with the solution. You're the one who didn't have fear, doubt, worry, control, or guilt. You're the one who said, hey, let's do this, and the other person hooked on. This dream was to remind you of your strength. And that whatever you do choose to do, as long as you want to do it and you feel comfortable not compromising the innocence of your mind and the beautiful things that you get to think in your heart, the way a child dreams, you're okay. Very interesting dream. It sounds all shoppy, you know, like, oh, well, it sounds like, you know, oh my gosh, it's so perfectly rounded in. There's a facility, there's buildings, there's a commercial service, and, you know, it's all mechanically related. But the mechanically related part is your brain. It's just the way it is. Nothing is ever as it seems. But you're willing to go over obstacles and whatever with other people. You're willing to give them charge. You have no need to control anything or anybody. You just know how to protect your inner happiness. And you do. And you do. And you do a great job of it. But this is telling you your capabilities go further than that. Challenge yourself. You're going to be surprised how strong you are. And maybe you can find a balance, just like you did on this ride, gave up control and then took control when you knew you were in trouble because you knew you were capable. But that you can find a balance if you take yourself a step further. I hope that helped. That was an interesting twist, Paul. So while you're listening to this, I hope your ears didn't melt. Great job, though. Thank you for sending the dream. So I have another dream. This dream is Maureen Cook. Hello, crew. I have a dream for Dream Theme Thursday. I had two dreams back to back a few days ago. The first one, I was in a basement and my cat Peepers showed up. I was amazed he was alive again. He needed to go to the bathroom, so I let him out in the front door. All Peepers is letting you know is that, hey, I may not be in front of you, but I'm around. And look, we're just normal when I'm around. So don't feel bad that I'm gone, because I'm actually not gone. And look, we're just business as usual. Nothing's changed. Because never forget that animals animals are not veiled, so they can see you. You just can't see them once they're gone. Their little cat body is gone. I know it's so hard. I know I had a cat that died, and it took me so long to get over it. I still remember, like, my next day at work, and I would go on appointments, and I could not believe that I had to work. I was so sad, and every time I would be in my car in between appointments, I would cry, and my kids couldn't even say Prance's name, could not even say the name around me. They'd run and look at my eyes the minute they'd say the name because they knew I was going to lose it, and I was so attached to this cat, and oh my God, but this cat's saying, hey, you know what, here, I'm here, roll call, I'm here. You're not alone. You're not alone. I know you can't, you know, touch my fur, and I know I can't snuggle up against you, and I know all of that, but I'm here. Look, we're just doing something normal, and it's becoming also something you're accepting, and you're okay. You're okay that Peepers is gone. You probably are at a place where you can maybe think of replacement, all of that, and getting to know another cat. I know it's sounds crazy, but they are alive again in our dream because you actually had like a little visit, and it's just like, you know, you can go on, we're fine, and enjoy your life. I'll see you again. It's so cute. And those are cute little dreams, but it's you've hit an echelon. You've grown to a certain point. The next one is the next dream. I was entering a big place. I think it was a shopping mall. Paul from our group was there, but he was off doing his own thing. I think he was at the money machine. I had to step over, and on huge piles of laundry bags, then out of some of them, I noticed was this dark green teal color material. I was admiring the material. It was quality, as if in the 70s, and intricate. It was, from my understanding, Paul's mom's laundry. She gave me a bag of money, and I didn't really understand why she was giving it to me. When I thought, I don't really need all of this money, she took some back. It was very much stressed upon me. She said, because you have offered to help me, I'm going to help you. Then I saw a name, or her name, on a rectangular piece of wood. I was to remember it, and I awoke thinking, I will not forget. Then I fell back asleep, and when I awoke, I could not remember the name. I told Paul Clark about my dream, as I thought maybe the name was Maggie or Norma Jean. He told me his mother's name is Gal Marie, and that his sister's name, who has passed, oh, wow, is Norma Jean. I hope you will see and have time to interpret this dream, Nadia Khalil. Thank you. Okay, this dream is so loaded that I don't even know where to start. So, first of all, Paul's at the money machine, but you got the money. So you guys are a good team because you're both on the same wavelength. But then you got the money, and you realize you don't need all that money. So some of that money went back. Now, I'm going to tell you something about your life. Sometimes we wonder why money doesn't come to us, or why we just don't have as much of it as other people, or whatever it is. It's because you like it that way. You're okay with who you are. You're okay with that whole dynamic in your life. More okay than you think. And in your mind, you know the money's there, but you're at a different place. You're at a more, I want to say actually a place of comfort, without having too much. So if you ever had too much, you would find a way to get rid of it, spend it, give it away, do whatever you were going to do with it to keep yourself where you're at. So know that. Know that somewhere deep, deep, deep inside of you, that's a choice. And that you don't like to take advantage of people either. So when that happened in the dream, there was a greater trust felt. It's interesting because that's when you trust people, when money is not involved. Trust them more than when money is involved. I mean, isn't involved. And when money is involved, you trust less. I'm sorry. So now let's go a little bit further. She said she's going to help you. And then it came out that it was through a name. But what she was letting you know, which I think was the most amazing part of this dream, was that you can see. By you getting to see this information, because I do know that you and Paul are very close in conversations and in that type of thing, but you guys aren't physically near each other. And here's his mom who just passed, and she visits you. And because you and Paul are close, she came through you to let Paul know that she's there, because Paul needs to know that. Even though he does know it, Paul needs to grow in his relationship with his mother, and you are a trusted friend to Paul, so much so that his mother used you as a vehicle to get to him. Now, what does that mean to you? That means to you that your senses are very accurately intact. You know, you feel, you have this clarity in you, enough for someone to come through you in your dream. You've had two visitations in one night, busy night, but it's so cool, or busy week, even if they were at separate times. But that the important thing is to put all this, you know, the amazing part of the same name, it being his mom, you know, having this information to share with Paul at a time when his mother soon passed. And, you know, even when it happened, I couldn't absorb the fact that his mother died. And just recently, I'm asking, how is everybody? Because they'll come back a lot in the beginning, and then, you know, as time goes on, it gets to be a little less, a little less. But the more important thing is that the clarity you possess, the depth of it, the attachment when you care about somebody, you get involved. You get very involved. So you should be picky about who is close to you, because you absorb that person entirely. And that's why when people leave you in your life, it hurts you a lot, because you don't open up to so many people. So when you do, it comes with a lot of you in it, whether it was with your cat, whether it's your friendship with Paul, his connection now to his mother. It's like you became part of that family. It's a very beautiful, it's an honor in so many ways to have that. And I have to say something to Maureen today. It is Maureen's birthday, so happy birthday, and what a great present to know how connected you are, not only to yourself, but to others, and to know that your needs are not connected to wanting anything from anybody, which is why you gave some of the money back. You're saying, hey, I'm good. I really do just love. And there's a purity in that, a beautiful purity in that, so much so that his mother was able to come to you, through you, and give you this message for Paul. Both of these are just so deeply intertwined in love, and in that deep love, not the kind of love where you just go, hey, I love you, man, but I love you, period. I love you. And I'm good with that. And I'm happy about it. And I'm secure in it. It's really, really cool. It's one of those things that when you feel this, you never not feel it again. You have that in you. It's amazing. So happy birthday. Thank you for the dreams. I had one more dream, and I'm going to do it next Thursday. It'll be my first dream. You guys, I love you so very much. I'll see you tomorrow on Questions Friday.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.